Well, well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, you speak English, sir? Parlo, usted inglés?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number three is upon us. As I said earlier and promoted, Richard Giordano's with us today. And we've got a very special topic to talk about. I appreciate Richard joining us. It's been a while since you've been here. I enjoy it.
No,
thank you.
Good to be back. Thank you.
It's always a joy. Charlie was just saying, I remember the day you were here and taught us your name and how to remember it. It was great. So
Michael,
I've never forgot
Michael
that.
Jordan. Michael Jordan.
It's been awesome. So I really appreciate it. All right. What are we going to talk about?
Well, I'd like to set the stage a little, if I may, John.
Go ahead.
We're going to talk about the Colorado High School Activities Association.
CHASA.
CHASA. C-H-S-A-A. I was a high school principal, as you know. Perhaps mm-hmm. some of your listeners will recall for many years. So I was, my high school athletes and all of the activities were governed by the organization CHASA.
Right. Still are.
They still are.
Yes.
Still are. And for your listeners, so that you know, whether you have a child in school or not, or whether it's a student athlete or not, your tax dollars through the general fund contribute to the support of that organization.
That's right.
So everybody has a, so to speak, a dog in this fight. So I hope what I'm going to say today is relevant to everybody, not just...
It will be. Trust me.
Student athletes.
No, it will be. Trust me. And this is a, and this should be a topic near and dear to a lot of you listening. And by the way, we will not get every single thing covered today. We'll have to have Richard back to, you know, continue this conversation because there's so much here to talk about. We could literally go 3 hours on this one topic alone and, you know, probably bore all of you stiff. But we'll continue to have Richard back and keep talking about this. So, so what is it that's so important with student education in CHASA?
Well, the student athletes, as you know, maybe you know, some of your listeners may recall, I worked with student athletes. I had developed an instructional program that was my first book, basically.
Right.
Supercharged Learning.
That's
and
right.
I work with student athletes in terms of improving their academics, keeping them eligible. I was at Notre Dame, Indiana, Central Michigan, some other universities. That generated the first book, and then I became interested, of course, having been an evaluator of teachers for many years and recognizing all the time that I couldn't do it well, I wrote the second book, which I just gave you a copy.
Yep, I've got it right in front of me.
Yeah, the receipt will come later.
It's fine. I'll pay it.
Anyway, the Colorado High School Activities Association has, in their equity code, a statement regarding and a policy regarding the transgender student athlete.
Okay.
And so that your listeners will recognize the predicate for this discussion, this policy states, in a few words, that transgender student athletes must be allowed to compete against their cisgender being biologically male or female, identified at birth. They must be allowed to compete against their cisgender counterparts on the field of play.
So in other words, if they were born a male,
correct,
but are now identifying or are even in that transition of becoming a female,
correct,
which, by the way, unless I'm wrong, Richard, you don't have to have any body parts changed. You just have to say, this is the direction I'm headed.
That is correct.
Right?
It is a matter of how you, quote, unquote, identify.
It's how you feel.
Correct.
Sorry, I'm just being honest.
No,
it's how you feel, right?
Very good. Very good.
So you're a male identifying as a female. CHASA is now saying that if you do that and you're a male identifying as a female, you can go run women track.
That is correct. Some of your list, some
or play
of your,
women's softball or
exactly.
whatever else, or women's basketball.
Yeah.
I can go down the list, right?
Yeah, there's been a little bit of news about this in New Jersey, where two black student athletes are competing in girls' athletics. They're males, but they're trans.
And they took first and second.
Yeah. The best case, perhaps, is several years ago, a young woman, Matt Beggs in Texas, won two state championships as a female, but she was transgendering into a male. So she was giving testosterone for that purpose, and of course there's a huge benefit to testosterone. CHSAA would frown upon any student athlete in the state of Colorado.
Doping,
exactly right.
Let's call it what it is. So how's that any different?
It isn't any different.
Thank you.
So let me just, my opening concern in my statement, so that your listeners know exactly where I'm coming from and the interest, as they say, of full disclosure. My intent is, my objective would be, if everything would go the way it should be, is in my view, and I think a good majority of people might agree, the Colorado High School Activities Association should scrap, trash, get rid of the current policy. We could go through that word for word, and I think it would become abundantly clear as to why it is unworthy as a policy to regulate student athletes in this state or any state.
I agree, by the way.
Dump the existing policy. So there are three parts to this, if I may. There's the existing policy issues regarding transgender athletes and their schools. And then there's the new policy development process I'd like to just touch on, and then how to get it done.
Okay.
So the existing.
So let's cover the first one, then we'll take a break.
Good. The existing policy development issues. The way this policy was developed was very representative, if you will, of how bureaucracies operate. The agents that were involved in the group representation, the group that put this all together, included superintendents, district athletic directors, principals, athletic directors, activities directors, and other designated administrative, underlined administrative personnel.
Okay.
Notice that there were no parents, student athletes, students, teachers, counselors, psychologists involved.
What about coaches? Were coaches involved?
No.
No coaches either?
No coaches involved. Okay. Thank you for reminding me of that. Okay. A critical element.
Because they're the first line right there,
they
as far
certainly
as I'm
are.
Concerned.
They certainly are. But this policy was put together exclusively by bureaucrats. I was one of those people.
At one time
until I finally woke up one morning and said, "What is wrong with you?" But I did that for about 25 years, last being in Boulder Valley. We've talked about that
before.
Well,
you know, and everybody listening, point being, Richard has really good insight as to how these things work and function. And by the way, far better than I would ever have, because you lived it and did this for 25 years.
That's correct. The thing that bothers me about this this policy that's in place now, and it's something that people, you know, people, John, don't really recognize what's happening in their schools. You and I have talked about this on air several times, right. And my ardent concern is that parents are not only uninformed, but they're inactive in their schools. Mm-hmm. You go to a school board meeting, you could fire a gun off and probably not hit anybody.
Right.
But I probably shouldn't use that metaphor.
I get the point.
You get the point. Parents need to get involved. And one of the things that really bothers me about this policy is it is discriminatory. The irony is the CHSAA has put this into place so they wouldn't discriminate against transgender student athletes.
But yet they are.
Well,
against the other sex.
They are discriminate. Well, over 99% of their regular student athletes, those who are what I'm going to call it what it is. It's normal.
Right.
Transgenderism
is not
a normal.
No, I said it before you came on in this last hour, and these are not Richard's words. These are mine, but I've said it. I'll continue to say it. And honestly, so far, no one's ever been able to prove me wrong. In fact, I've had many, many experts on from the psychology end of things that have actually proven me right. And I'll say it as it is. If you're a transgender individual, not just a young kid confused, but an actual transgender individual going through this process, you have a mental problem.
I believe that's true.
Period. And I've had psychologists on that have proven my point. It's not that hard to figure out, folks.
Well, the Diagnostic Statistical Manual, I think DSM-4, designates transgenderism still as gender dysphoria, which is considered to be confusion. So I think the word confusion, as you're describing it, pretty much grasps the whole issue. But let me just give you another example, and your listeners' example, of how this discriminates not only against the students, but against those who are interfacing with the students, namely their teachers, coaches, counselors, psychologists, cafeteria workers, custodians, everybody. In the policy, I'm going to read two things that I think should make everybody understand what we're talking about. This is word for word in the policy. In the areas of awareness for schools. That sounds nice and soft. Here's what it says. Educate teachers, counselors, coaches, administrators, parents, and students on transgender sensitivity in relation to students. Also, and this is an interesting one to me, I'd like to know what this means. Educate booster clubs as needed with regard to potential funding issues. Hmm. Another one. Permit the student to dress according to gender identity. These people will be punished in schools, that includes teachers, if you refer to a transgender person by the gender.
By their actual gender.
Yeah. Hmm. If there is a male wanting to become a female and you refer to that person as a he.
You're in trouble.
You're in trouble.
Okay.
So that is discrimination.
Hold that thought. We'll come right back. Craig as well. Hang tight. You've got a comment on this as well. We'll take that call. American National Insurance is next. My insurance agent, Paul Leuenberger, would love to help you today. Make sure you're properly insured. Give him a call. It's really simple. 303-662-0789.
Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance offers a rebate program unlike any other. Every year that you don't file a claim, you get a certain percentage of your money back. Just one example of how Paul Leuenberger, the personal insurance agent of John Rush, keeps your rates so low. He rewards his customers for their diligence and responsibility. Paul can also help you strategize about when to file a claim and when to pay out of pocket so you save more money in the long run. You don't want to shop online for insurance because you have no idea what you're buying. You need Paul Leuenberger with American National, the no surprises insurance agent. Call 303-662-0789. That's 303-662-0789 and ask Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance for details about his unique rebate program for home and auto insurance. Talk to somebody with the expertise to advise you so you get the coverage you expect.
A good shop, folks, is next. I look outside and the snow is a little bit falling down here in Aurora. And from what I understand, it's a little heavier in other places around town. If you're involved in an accident and the vehicle is disabled, you can have it towed right to a good shop. Yes, I realize they're up on the north end of town, but if you want somebody honest that'll take care of you and make your vehicle right again, just have it towed to a good shop. 720-541-7697 or find them at klzradio.com.
As modern vehicles become safer and more technologically complex, collision repairs also become more specialized. You need an auto body shop that looks to the future, investing in the tools and training they need to fix your vehicle properly. Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop have earned OE certifications for brand names like Subaru, Ford, and many others, ensuring you get the parts and service recommended by your vehicle's manufacturer. After a collision, you want to get your vehicle back to pre-loss condition, which means you want the original parts from the manufacturer, not aftermarket parts. Al and his team at A Good Shop continue to earn new OE certifications all the time, so they can have access to all of the databases and software that come directly from the manufacturer. Your insurance company does not recommend auto body shops based on their certifications. Take control of the quality by choosing a certified auto body shop. Schedule an estimate with A Good Shop now at klzradio.com/collision.
Register now for a free workshop with KLZ's mobile estate planner, Michael Bailey. Thursday, February 18th at 6:30 p.m., dinner included. Reserve your seat at klzradio.com/estate.
This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Richard Giordano with us today and talking transgenderism here in Colorado schools. Craig and Wheatridge, you are next.
Hi, John. Hi, Richard.
How you doing, Craig?
The same discussion on this topic. To me, you know, there's a lot at stake when, let's say, you know, the parents of a lady high school athlete, you know, is competing for a college scholarship. You know, there's mm-hmm. a lot.
Right. A lot at stake.
Here.
Yes.
And to have somebody, a transgender boy, come in and say, hey, this is an easy pathway to a scholarship because physically, I can go in and dominate that woman's or girl's sports at the high school level to get that scholarship. to me, it just seems like it's so unfair. And unfortunately, you know, our White House press secretary, as far as the Biden administration is concerned, they're calling this a human rights issue.
Yeah, it's far from that.
And so what I'm thinking down the road is there something in the bylaws of the High School Activities Association that says, are these rules written in there that if your son or daughter competes, they have to abide by these rules? And one of these rules being you have to allow transgender boys to compete in girls' athletics?
Yes, that is exactly what it says. It's not a question of whether they can compete. It's that they must be allowed to compete.
Yeah, there's no question about it, Craig.
Yeah, black and white.
So do you foresee the possibility of a lot of parents just pulling their girls once these boys try to, if you want to call it, invade the girls' sports and dominate them, that they just pull their daughters out of the activities?
I think that could be an option to come up.
But, and by the way, it's when, not if.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Let me just answer the question first. I'd like to avoid that, and when we get to the last part of this, hopefully, I don't know how much time we have left, John, but the last part of this, how do we get this done? How do we get the CHSAA to bag this whole silly process? But I think that, I think that parents, in fact, in Colorado, it's not an issue right now because there have been no cases. I spoke with a gentleman at the in a very large school district in the state. I'm careful not to identify whom I spoke with because
right.
I don't want to.
No, we don't want to hurt anybody.
You know how that is.
That's right.
But this person told me that there hasn't been, to his recollection yet, any cases in the state of Colorado. But it's just a matter of time. It is just a matter of time. And my concern is, why do we have a policy on the books right now that is so dangerous and damaging and devastating to young student athletes? Why do we have to wait for something to happen before anything is done about it? I think it should be scrapped right now and changed. And I know how it can be changed. It's very simple.
Pressure from the parents, correct?
That is correct.
Yep.
But it's not only parents. I don't want to dominate your call, but it's not only parents that there are a lot of other participants in this. There are a lot of other people that have agency in this. The student athletes not being the least of which, and certainly the parents are paramount. They are very, very, I don't know how it could be very paramount, but they are.
Well, it's unfortunate. I'm glad you're on to talk about this because we just happened to be talking about this at work today.
Craig, I appreciate the phone call. And we will have Richard back. We've got about 6 minutes left here to have him really kind of explain how do we keep combating this. And again, this will be a conversation we continue to have because, as I said a moment ago, there's no cases now.
Right.
But mark my words, there will be.
Yeah.
Unless this changes.
Well, there is going to be a change coming. There are pending suits in other states. I believe that the state, I know that the New Jersey circumstance with the two black student athletes that I referenced earlier, that's currently in court. But one state's court decision does not necessarily apply to other states. That's something I've learned through talking to an attorney about this whole issue. So this needs to be something out of a national perspective. Whether Jen Psaki ever... I'm going to try to be kind here, wakes up and realizes this is a national issue, and whether people in the Biden administration recognize it is another issue. But look at this, parents and people right here listening to this right now. You can do something about this right now in Colorado and forestall and forbid anything like this ever happening, such as is happening in New Jersey. You don't have to wait for the material to hit the fan, so to speak.
No, by the way, we need to be on this. In my opinion, as a state and the folks that are listening, we need to be on this far before it ever becomes a problem and comes to a head.
That is correct. And let me just say something else here editorially here. As a former high school principal who's been in the field, in the trenches, in the pits, so to speak, don't wait for principals, superintendents, or any of the designated quote-unquote leaders. I put that in quotation marks because leadership, as I describe in my book, about teaching fraud, leadership in public education is in very short supply, especially at the line level of the principalship. I can tell you that from experience. If you are going to be a true leader in a principalship, if you have something you believe, first of all, which is another issue, but if you have something you believe and you want to put it into the educational process, you're going to change jobs often because you're going to find yourself up against a bureaucracy, which I refer to as the education coterie in my book,
right.
of a whole amalgam of different organizations and people who don't really want to hear what you have to say. Largely,
you know, and if anything, we'll even go one step further, making sure that you're shut up.
Well,
right?
The way you get shut up is you change jobs frequently. Mm-hmm. And I can speak from experience on that. I'm not proud of it, but I'm not ashamed of it either. Because a principal needs to speak up on issues of integrity, on issues of appropriateness, and on issues of morality and basic biology. And you're not going to find many of them, parents, who are going to mm-hmm. do that today.
When it comes to CHASA and everybody that's out there listening that has kids, is there anybody in particular that they can contact there? How do they go about, you know, handling that, Richard? And I know we're going to have you back and do more because there's a lot more information. But in the meantime, who do they call? How do they get a hold of somebody?
Thank you, John. This is what I wanted to come to in terms of how to get it done. It's the pressure brought to bear by these different cohorts, these different groups, parents, students, student athletes, counselors, teachers, everyone in the community that thinks this is, a crock.
Right, which it is.
It is. They need to call a lady by the name of Bethany Brookins, the assistant commissioner at the Colorado High School Activities Association. Her phone number is 303-344-5050. Again, Bethany Brookins, B-R-O-O-K-E-N-S, 303-344-5050. Now, let me alert you. When you call the CHSAA today, as is the case in so many other places that are terrified that they're going to get COVID over the phone,
right,
you're going to get an answering machine. answering machine.
No, you're a good point.
But leave a message. Be diplomatic. Be polite. But be direct. And above all, be forceful. Be forceful. This is something that is only going to change if you tell them and you demand that it change.
Yeah.
My hope is, I don't know that this is going to happen, but my hope would be that organization, the CHSAA and Ms. Brookins, gets flooded with comments and phone calls.
That's the only way this is going to change. And as Richard said, don't rely on other states and lawsuits that are going on there to affect Colorado, because I'll be honest, frankly, I don't see that happening. And just for all of you listening, I've had enough experience one-on-one over the years with my kids playing sports and knowing how CHASA works that, frankly, CHASA won't care what another state does in this particular world, because I know them well enough to know that they will almost do what they're going to do despite other places that have had those lawsuits, just because it's CHASA,
that
and I know
correct.
Them.
And keep in mind, I think all of you have picked up on this little detail. You're going to be dealing with a bureaucracy here.
Well, very much so.
You're going to be dealing with committees, with people who are hiding. The reason educators form committees is so that no one is culpable for a final decision.
Yep. And keep in mind, folks, this is the same organization that is now requiring all basketball players, male or female, on the court to wear a mask the entire time, even if you're sitting on the bench, and you cannot touch your mask or adjust it. If you do, you got to go back to the locker room and reposition everything and then come back out again, while at the same time allowing those that want to wrestle to do so without a mask. This is the same organization, folks.
And leap tall buildings with a single bound.
This is, in my opinion, and I have no love, as you can tell, for CHASA. I have despised that organization ever since my kids played high school sports here in Colorado, because it, in my opinion, is one of the most inept and corrupt organizations we have in the entire state. And I mean that wholeheartedly and sincerely. I'm not just saying that because Richard's here. It's the experiences I have had in the past with CHASA, and I am no lover of them at all.
Yeah, I didn't know that when I first contacted you.
I do not like CHASA,
I just
as you can
that.
Tell.
If I may, John, I'd like to give my communication coordinates. So
yes.
Just so that your audience knows, I am very ready and willing to speak to groups of teachers, parents, service clubs. I've done some of that in the past. You can contact me at my email address. I'm going to give it twice. I'll say it first. drgioman@q.com. drgioman at the letter q.com. Send me an email if you think I'm full of nonsense. I'll hear that too. Of course, we'll disagree, but I'll be respectful of you if you will be of me. The website where you can see more information about what I've done and what I'm doing is for the second book, The second book is entitled Ineptitude, Conformity, and Obfuscation, The Fraud of Teacher Evaluation in the Public Schools. That's a complete expose from a principal's point of view as to why teacher evaluation is a farce. And I think by the title of that book, you can see why I changed jobs quite a bit when I was a principal. Yeah. But you can go to teacherevaluationfraud.com, and that will give you a lot of information about my background, what I do, and whether I'm credible or not.
By the way, folks, he is. We'll have him back again. We'll keep talking about this. As you can tell, it's a big deal to me as well, because you as parents, especially those of you that have kids in sports, will reap the repercussions of this if we don't stand our ground and take care of this. Richard, as always, I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
For all you're doing. All right, Extreme Auto Repair, folks, is coming up next. Get your vehicle in. Get it taken care of. They would love to take care of you and your vehicle, and they've got Cooper Tires at cost. 303-841-1071 or find them at klzradio.com.
The most frustrating part of getting your vehicle repaired is not knowing what they're charging you for. The team at Extreme Auto Repair has nothing to hide. Sean, Mike, Dave, and the whole team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker want you to understand what's going on with your vehicle so you know how to prioritize your spending. They'll always be transparent because you're the one spending money. You need to know what's wrong so you can focus on the most important repairs first. Just ask, and they'll be more than happy to take you back to the service bay, open up the hood to show you what's going on, or hand you the part that's not functioning. Their philosophy is, why hide it? You might not know what to look for on your own, and the bill makes a lot more sense when you can actually see the part. Plus, you'll feel better knowing that they're not charging you for services you don't need. Take a look together. Schedule a repair now at klzradio.com/extreme. Promise is kept.
Flashing back, folks, if you're driving around, end up with any kind of an accident, or you've had a problem, or you've got a business question, you know, legally speaking, Kevin is your guy. He's not afraid to go to court. He's trial tested, trial ready. And I would encourage you, just put this number in your phone, 303-806-8886, or find him at fleshlawfirm.com.
KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, offers a free consultation because he doesn't want the cost to stop you from talking to a lawyer. Suppose you had to pay a few hundred dollars for your initial consultation with Kevin Flesh. Instead of having a productive conversation, you'd be worrying about the money the whole time. Then suppose you don't retain him. You realize you don't need his services after all, so you wasted your money. It's too much pressure. Kevin wants you to feel comfortable talking to a lawyer without the distraction of a fee. Call Flesh and Beck Law now at 303-806-8886 and schedule a free consultation with Kevin. He'll be able to tell almost immediately whether or not you even have a case. Kevin always tells people honestly when they shouldn't hire him, so you'll leave the conversation better informed without wasting your money. Talk to KLZ's personal injury attorney for free at 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Teresa at the Campion Church said, "I have worked with this company for 9 years. They are some of the best people to work with. When I call for service on our copier, they are always looking to get there as soon as they can. One time I had a deadline and my copier was down. I called them up to see if I could use a copier in their office and they said, come right on over. Duke has personally come and delivered a copier for our use for a few weeks to make high-speed copies. I have enjoyed working with BES and would definitely recommend them." If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or need service on equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, folks, and it is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Again, I want to thank Richard Giordano for joining us, and we'll keep having him back on, folks, so don't worry. If you missed something today, we'll get him back on. I do have all of his information, too, so if you missed anything and you want more information on Richard, just let me know, and I can pass that along to you as well. Scott Garlish joining us now, Stansberry Research. Scott, how are you today?
Jill, I'm well. How are you, man?
Doing very well. We're getting a little snow here and tonight, which, we went through a cold snap, but not like what's been happening in other parts of the country. So question I have for you, and I didn't even preface this today with what we're going to talk about, but is some of what's happening around the country weather-wise, especially Texas, is it affecting the stock market at all?
Yes. In particular, like the Dow Jones Industrial Average.
because that has exposure to energy stocks. Note is Chevron and Exxon. And because, you know, oil prices are going to go up, and they seem to be benefiting from that, that's going to drag the Dow higher as well.
Okay.
The Dow is up today. Real things like the Russell 2000, the NASDAQ, and the S&P were all down. So we've talked about this before. You look at things like oil, and you look at what's going on with, you know, putting a cap on future supply because of some of the things the White House has decided to do. So you have this freeze situation where oil can't be dragged out of the ground or transported in Texas. That hurts supply that much more.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're long oil right now, this is, and when I say long, it means you own oil stocks or you own, the physical stock or physical oil. Those prices are going higher, and that's benefiting you.
I noticed today, just briefly reading through some things, that, the Permian Basin, which right now is really, really struggling because of the cold, and they produce about 4 million barrels a day is what I read. Might even be 4.5, Scott.
Yeah, I believe it's something like 30% of U.S. supply.
Yeah, it's about 25%. No, you're right. It's about like 25 to 30%. You're correct in that. Yes, that is right.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It's a bit of a problem, yeah. So it's not going to, and the other thing people need to think about and realize, it's not like it's going to get warm and all of a sudden it's going to turn back on. It doesn't quite happen that way. I wish it would. It'll take a few extra days, but then, you got to think about things like the area is not used to that. Is there damage to transportation pipes that come out of the area? Storage facilities, all those things. And that takes time to figure out.
Yeah, what you're saying is, and what I've been reading, which, I guess I can understand it, although I struggle with this a little bit, Scott, is they're not built for this sort of weather. And in turn, there's lots of problems, like you're saying, along the supply line and even getting it out of the ground, because that particular part of the country just isn't built for the type of weather they're having right now.
That's correct. It takes time. And people that are professional stock market investors are, they're going to be a bit advantageous as well. And they're going to, they know that people are going to be fearful. They make some money and then they get out of the way. So right now, while we, what they say is like the stock market hates uncertainty. In this type of situation, what's actually good for prices is uncertainty, because people don't know how long the oil is going to be shut off or not be able to get to where they need it.
Right.
So that's going to drive prices up.
Yep, and it was up today almost 70 cents a barrel. Looks like it closed out at, where it currently is at, $61.84 for West Texas Intermediate, and then Brent is $64.34. So, yeah, it's all up. Really, from the time Biden took over, it's gone from about 45 to, 48 up to the $61 mark. Granted, some of what's there now is because of what you just said, but Scott, I don't think it's going to come down much, if any.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it, and I think this is one thing we spoke about when Obama got inaugurated. From the time he was inaugurated to about 2.5 years later, oil prices ran about 190, almost 200%. And there's nothing right now that makes me believe that we couldn't have a similar type situation, simply because if, we're talking about constricting oil supply just from not allowing drilling on federal lands, cutting off future supply by shutting down pipes, there are pipelines, one being, why is the name, the pipeline coming out of Canada, the name's escaping me at the moment.
Keystone.
The Keystone Pipeline. Yeah, yeah. But, so you cut off future supply, and that all that means is demand is probably going to pick up, right? Because the economy is going to get better. We're seeing, I think it's over 60 million people have been vaccinated now, and the average daily total over the last week is around 1.67 million people per day. So, as the economy heats back up, people are going to be moving around more. I would imagine this summer we're going to see a lot more activity. We're going to see a lot more planes flying, and all of those things require, fuel,
right.
And that fuel is made from oil.
Right.
And, in particular, we use light sweet crude, which is what's produced a lot of in Texas. What people don't necessarily understand is we prefer light sweet is more usable for producing gas because it's easier versus using the heavy crude that comes out of, say, Saudi Arabia or the Brent crude, which is heavy.
And the plus side today is at least the Saudis, not that it's a, you know, not that we want to buy everything from the Saudis, but the plus side is because they're not stupid, they know that that's a lot of their national income, the family income, I should say, comes out of the oil. So they're going to raise their daily, pulling out of the ground, if you would, their oil output. They're going to raise that. They cut it 1 million barrels, I think, last month. They agreed to do that, but now they're going to kick that back up again because to their benefit, oil's at, you know, $62-$64 a barrel. They're going to cash in.
Yeah, and I think they plan their economic projections and their spending for, I don't know what the recent number is, but I want to say it's been around $50. That's the key level for them. When it drops below that creates problems for the royal family in Saudi Arabia because of the...
Yeah, all like 25,000 of them.
Yeah, right.
So, I've said this before, Scott. There's about 25,000 of them that love driving Lamborghinis and Ferraris. They love that lifestyle. So, yeah, they're going to do whatever they can to keep feeding the family.
Yeah. But oil, right, clearly, but oil at 61 doesn't hurt them as much.
No, not at all.
They're
in good shape. No, you're right. Okay, hey, let's talk about exit strategy. One of those things that, you know, I know I talk about it in the business, you know, the coaching world, when I talk about, you know, just owners and, you know, what's their plan down the road? What, you know, what's their backup plan if things, you know, go awry, so on and so forth? The same thing needs to happen with investors, right?
Totally. Just talking about energy stocks, like, again, I think energy stocks, they have room to run. You can look at the oil services index, the ETF, I believe it's the OIH, and then like XLE is another good energy play. The easy part, to me, is getting in. Sometimes you have to hold your nose and just do it. Otherwise, you can talk yourself out of doing anything. The hard part, sometimes, I find, is getting out, and that's where people make the biggest mistake.
Yes. Same thing happens in the business world. Scott, you and I kind of went back and forth on this today some, and the problem is people get far too emotional and they get attached to things and they don't look at it factually any longer. They're looking at it through the emotional lens versus a factual lens, and it affects their pocketbook.
That's exactly right. And so there's a guy I work with. His name is Steve Sugarud, Dr. Steve Sugarud, and he was a money manager at one point, and he loves technical stuff about the market. And the cycle we're in right now, he believes we're in the late stages of a melt-up. And I can see very much that. And he likes to compare it to, if you go back to 1998 to 2000, if you had invested in, or say, around September of 98 in the stock market, and the NASDAQ in particular, the NASDAQ was at 1,500. It peaked in early 2000 at, I want to say the high was 5,100. And then over the course of the next year, it lost 50%. So the reason I bring all this up is because you want to have what we call them are trailing stops on your investments. And that what you do by trailing stop is it has a stop level price on your investment. So whenever it reaches its high, or it sets a new high, it always has a 20 to 25% trailing stop on it. So that means if the stock price drops 20 to 25% from its most recent high, it tells you to get out. And it's not because it's become a bad investment, but you don't know what's going to happen. And it's trying to save you from getting emotionally attached and being like, you know what, if I just hang on a little bit longer, it'll come back. There were a lot of people that rode that investment wave with the NASDAQ up. That's why I bring this up as an example. They rode it up for those 300% gains and then got dragged all the way back out because they got emotionally attached.
Right.
Now, look, you can come back to this investment down the road, but by having a 20 to 25% trailing stop on your investments, it will make you get out and it will save you a lot of money.
Well said, Scott. As always, I appreciate it very much. How do folks find you?
Come check out StansberryInvestor.com. You can sign up for our free stuff. You can check out our paid stuff, and we're there to help the little guy.
Scott, as always, I appreciate it, sir. Have a great evening.
John, thanks for your time.
You're very welcome. I appreciate it. Affordable Interest Mortgage is next. Kirk going to join us tomorrow, by the way. We'll talk housing and the markets and a lot of things even we just talked to Scott about. But if you got a question, give Kurt a call today, 720-895-0500.
Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Franktown Firearms, folks, and hey, with some of the changes that potentially could be coming down the pike in regards to the Second Amendment and the Biden administration, I would suggest you go see Franktown sooner than later. Find him at klzradio.com or call 720-770-7777.
Before you actually start carrying a firearm, you need to develop the mindset of safety. Whether you consider yourself an experienced shooter or if you've never shot a gun, head trainer Karen Murray recommends signing up for the basic concealed carry class at Franktown Firearms first, because everyone has bad habits to break. You need to start with the basics, but you also can't walk out of a CCW class with a gun strapped to your hip thinking you're Jack Bauer. Once you've registered for your concealed carry permit, come back to Franktown Firearms for Karen's tactical pistol course to put your skills into practice. Karen will teach you the 6 steps to proper holster draw, giving you the chance to practice situational awareness in a safe environment. Karen loves watching her students leave her tactical pistol course at Franktown Firearms wearing their guns in their holsters for the first time. Register for a class now at klzradio.com/Franktown. Confidence through practice.
Register now for a free retirement planning workshop with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial at the Littleton Cafe. Dinner included, Thursday, February 18th at 6:30 p.m. Sign up now at klzradio.com/money. GIA Insurance shops the entire market for the right plan at the best price. So they must be more expensive, right? Wrong! All of that valuable market research comes as a free benefit to you from Paul and his team at GIA. Get more without paying more.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Craig, you're back. What's going on, sir?
Hey, John, I attempted to leave a message with that Bethany Brookins. The phone number is correct. Their directory says if you want to leave a message for a particular board member to dial 1 and then spell the first name of the person you want to leave the message for. I attempted to spell Bethany 2 or 3 times. It wouldn't accept it. So I hung up, redialed again, went in through their general voicemail directory, which it said press 9, press that, and it won't do anything. So I went around that and went into Chas's directory and left a email directed to her, that Bethany Brookins.
Okay.
And said what I couldn't say on a voicemail, I did through an email.
Yeah, and what you're saying doesn't shock me. Like I said earlier, I've had experience with this organization before, not in this particular realm, but just, you know, frustrated through, you know, just numerous, what I felt at the time were extremely poor decisions. And I will tell you this too, and I'll just go on record saying this. CHASA is one of those organizations that could care less if any parochial or homeschool group or Christian school ever plays sports in this state competitively with other public schools. And I mean that, and I don't think I'm wrong in saying that. They cannot stand the fact that there's competition in public schools from the likes of the Valors of the world.
Well, as you recall, there was a particular student athlete, a football player, that kind of organized a whole movement that they wanted to play football when this the COVID first last fall, when they weren't allowing them to play. And it was through his efforts, pretty much him and his fellow athletes, that they got the media behind them and voiced their disapproval for allowing them not to play. And then they did eventually get to play because of their actions. So it's just gonna, I think it's going to take that kind of pressure.
Yes. Yeah, I mean,
from media and parents.
Yeah, for everybody listening, keep in mind you are dealing with one of, in my opinion, when it comes to high school, you know, the high school end of things in Colorado especially, you are dealing with, in my opinion, one of the most corrupt bureaucratic organizations there is. A lot of what these individuals do makes no sense whatsoever. And after listening to Richard explain who sits on CHASA, it's no wonder it's the way it is, Craig, because a majority of them have no clue what's going on in the real world.
Well, again, you know, these are probably former teachers, maybe. I don't know what they're exactly the background of all their board members consist of. But again, high school activities is associated with schools, which is associated with teachers' unions. So you're probably fighting the teachers' unions at the same time.
Yeah, and I will tell
there's
you
probably
that
some influence from teachers' unions.
And unless, and again, if somebody can maybe, you know, correct me that knows more about this than I do, but to my knowledge, Craig, I think even the coaches that are out there, there's some really good, solid coaches in Colorado, by the way. I think CHASA even frustrates those guys, you know, to no end. I mean, I wish there was another organization in Colorado that would compete with CHASA. Unfortunately, they're the king, and even if you came along and started another small organization, you're not going to compete on the same level that they're doing, because they're the big guys on campus.
Right, right.
It is what it is, unfortunately, so, and they are corrupt.
I will let you know if I get a response on my email. I'll give it a couple
I'd appreciate
days,
that.
If I don't get a response, I'll let you know.
No, I really appreciate that. Craig, thanks again. And the number, by the way, that he was just mentioning that you can call, and if you do during daylight hours or daytime business hours, you might have better luck. But on the same token, you should be able to find a mailbox pretty easily. That number is 303-344-5050, and the person you're looking for is Bethany Brookins. Bethany Brookins is the person that you need to call and really express your displeasure and what's going on with CHASA when it comes to, you know, allowing, not even allowing, I feel like it's even encouraging transgenders to play sports, high school sports here in Colorado. So, all right, we're going to come up next with Purefoy Chevrolet. And folks, if you're looking to buy a newer used vehicle, and a lot of you I know are, please don't get caught in that trap of going to the big dealers or the big used car lots. Just go to Purefoy Chevrolet, buy your car or truck there. Yes, they can supply you a used car, or they've got a full line of Chevrolet products as well. Whatever you need, they've got you taken care of, and no, they're not going to hold you hostage like still happens in a lot of dealerships. 303-659-8311 in Fort Lupton. That's Purefoy Chevrolet. Shop online at purefoychevrolet.com.
Going into the showroom at Purefoy Chevrolet, one of the things that struck me is that the people that work there, they're just regular people. You talk to the guy that's helping you, and you get the sense of, this is just another person. He wants to help me. He wants to make sure that I get the right car. He's asking the right questions, but without being pushy. I just get a sense that he's really invested in what I need to find for my family and for me.
Rolly Purefoy is not somebody who would ever brag about himself, but he has an incredible history with Chevrolet, and that's why he cares about those vehicles so much. He's actually been a test driver for some of the models, and he's even had some input in the design. If you just ask Rolly some questions about his history, he has the most fascinating stories. He's one of those owners who will just chat with you like an ordinary person. He's just one of those people you really need to meet. I would highly recommend Purefoy Chevrolet. They're a really remarkable group of people.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. By the way, appreciate everybody listening today and even chiming in throughout the day today. I really do appreciate it. We had a great first hour, and if you, by the way, missed that, you can actually listen to that hour next. We're going to replay that hour instead of the National Crawford Roundtable. We had some technical difficulties getting that recorded today, so we'll play the first hour tonight. So if you're normally listening to the Crawford Roundtable tonight at 6, it's a replay. You can go find all those on the website, and you know, I think it's Crawford. Is it Crawford.live? What is it, Charlie? Crawford.live. You can actually find all the podcasts there. If you want to listen to one of the past podcasts, feel free. But we'll be back next week recording a new one. And again, you'll listen to the first hour coming up next. We did talk about a little bit in that first hour, but more so with Andy in the second hour. Rush Limbaugh passing away. He passed away early this morning at the age of 70. For those of you, I'm sure most everybody by now has heard that. If not, then you're hearing it for the first time. But really, a legacy in the radio talk world, conservative talk radio world, really put us on the map, if you would. And you know, our best of prayers and thoughts and our hearts go out to his family and just those that are working in his organization. And I'm sure there's a lot of things that will be happening there, and we'll just see how that unfolds here in the near future. So we'll be back tomorrow, though. Myself, Rachel Keene, Conservative Mama. Enjoy your night. Be safe. We'll be back tomorrow. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.